is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Yo, everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. Geico also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from ForTheSword.com. And the NBA season is now over. The Cleveland Cavaliers lost on Monday night. It's Tuesday morning as I recorded this. They lost Game 5. They lose 129-120, and they lose 4-1. LeBron James averaged a triple-double. Kyrie was great the last couple games. I thought Kevin Love had an overall good series, but it's not enough. Kevin Durant was too much for the Cavs, and that's really where we're at right now. This sets off a very interesting summer for the Cavs. It's been a pleasure covering everything this season on this podcast. I think we've had a great first year. We're almost at 200 episodes, which is amazing, and it's been great having you guys tune along. We're not going to go away. We'll have pods all summer, but this is going to be the last game recap of the year. And today's game recap will be an audio from a Facebook Live I did for Phantom. You'll hear my analysis, answering some questions live, and I hope you guys enjoy. Go like Phantom as well, and enjoy that, and kind of give me your feedback on that. I will probably do a mailbag maybe to kick things off at the end of the week or early next week. So drop a question to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com or to LockedOnCavs on Twitter. And we're not going to go anywhere. Fear the Sword's not going anywhere. The podcast isn't going anywhere. But this is the end, and the Cavs fall short. It sets off a summer that starts right now with David Griffin being a free agent and LeBron James saying he's never played for a super team. It's going to be a very interesting summer. It was a very interesting series, and it tells you kind of where the Cavs are at right now. And it sucks a little bit if you're a Cavs fan, but I think they're still in a good spot, and you should still feel very good about your team if that's why you're listening to this pod. And they're still the second best team in the league, and in a couple years from now, I think a lot of people out there won't feel quite as bad as they might right now. But before we get into today's show, I want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. Now that the NBA season is over, it's time to use SeatGeek if you haven't already. You can get Indians tickets, Browns tickets, concert tickets. You can go see get Minimalist podcast tickets, which I'll be at in a couple weeks, which will be pretty cool in Cleveland. And it's free. You can download SeatGeek with two taps on your phone, buy tickets with two taps, and you're going to get tickets to anything you want on SeatGeek. If you want Indians tickets because you want to just go watch baseball now, you can get them on SeatGeek. If you want to get tickets to go see the Minimalist podcast live in Cleveland, you can do that on SeatGeek. I love SeatGeek. I always get my tickets on there. I never look anywhere else because I know I'm going to get the best deal. You're getting tickets from all the biggest sellers. You get a deal score. You're getting the view from your seat. Any bit of information you want about your ticket, you can find on SeatGeek. And my listeners today can save $20 on their first purchase by using the promo code LOCAVS. That's LOCAVS. And you save $20 on your first purchase. Download SeatGeek today. Go see some Indians games. Detox from the Cavs season. Get some sleep. And use SeatGeek. Go see something you want to see. But here's today's show, recapping Game 5, talking a little bit about the offseason because we're going to shift right into that right away with the draft coming up next week. Get those mailbag questions into LockedOnCavs@gmail.com and to LockedOnCavs on Twitter. Or run r/ClevelandCavs. We'll talk again soon. Again, the Cavs lose Game 5, lose the series 4-1. Kevin Durant is your Finals MVP. LeBron James averaged a triple-double, and the Cavs still lost. Pretty remarkable, and we'll see what's next.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Facebook. Welcome to this live recap of Game 5 of the NBA Finals. I'm Chris Manning from FearTheSword.com and the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. We just watched the end of the NBA season. The 2016-17 NBA season is now over. As I'm sure you all know, the Cleveland Cavaliers lost Game 7 of the NBA Finals to the Golden State Warriors. In a game that had some very close moments, the Cavs got it close at points, but ended up losing this game by a final score of 129-120. Kevin Durant in the closeout game scored 39 points for the Golden State. LeBron's 41 point, 13 rebound, 8 assist effort goes to waste, and the Cavs season is over. They lose the finals 4-1, a gentleman's sweep that really only was prolonged by the Game 4 outburst, one of the best performances the Cavs had all postseason in Game 4. There's a lot to talk about here. The game itself, you can kind of get the idea of it by kind of just how it played out, but this sets up a very interesting offseason for the Cavs, and it's something we've hit on before. It's something I've talked about on the Lockdown Cavs podcast before, but we're in a very interesting place now when it comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Ari Temkin just commented on here, and Cavs need to fight fire with fire when it comes to the future, right? I mean, I think they do. I think if you look at what went wrong here, if you look at what the issue was for the Cavs, Kevin Durant was the ultimate checkmate. Kevin Durant was the ultimate one-uppance on the Cavs. If you look at everything he did in the series, he was getting big buckets when they mattered. And everything he did was just an answer to the Cavs' best shot. It was everything he was doing was functionally just a response to what the Cavs did. He, in these moments, in a way Curry didn't, in a way Draymond can't, in a way Clay cannot, was getting these big isolation buckets that Golden State needed to kind of push the Cavs back and keep this game at bay. Durant took Golden State to another level, and they brought him in to do exactly what he did in this final series. He was there to provide Golden State with a guy that no one in the world is going to stop over and over again and over the course of a 7-game series. It was a guy who can shoot over LeBron, who's going to make Richard Jefferson as hard as RJ tried in this series look like a subpar defender. These are just issues you're going to have when you're the Cavs trying to guard Kevin Durant. KD was the ultimate card here, and it puts the Cavs, as Ari was alluding to, in a very interesting spot. They will probably do something. It's hard to know exactly what they're going to do. It's hard to know exactly 100% what's to come. There's so much up in the air, and we'll get to what's up in the air, but there will definitely, I imagine, some rejiggering. If LeBron doesn't think, and the team doesn't think, this is someone that can beat this Golden State team, which is probably going to stick together, they need to win that. Giancarlo Bizarro notes in there, Korver and Darren Williams need to hit wide open threes if one of them can beat in the series. Yeah, both those guys had very brutal series. These are guys the Cavs brought in to provide veteran poise, They were brought in to fill in gaps. They were brought to fill in holes. And Darren Williams is there to run the second unit. He did not. He did that really well against Boston. Did that really well against Toronto. Did not do that against Golden State. Like, he was turnover prone, missed open threes. Don't really think Lou put them in a good spot playing with Kyrie. And he couldn't defend Steph, so he was going to struggle. Korver is a little bit more surprising almost, just because he was getting open threes. I actually thought he did really well defending switches. I thought he did a really good job of putting himself in the right position. And athletically, he was going to struggle. But if you look at some of the little things he did, he bobbled passes. He had some dumb turnovers, had a couple dumb fouls in this game and over the course of this series. Those little things added up for Cleveland. It made certain moments hard to deal with. It's the same thing with Amon Shumpert missing three-pointers. And Amon Shumpert, you know, dropping that one pass that LeBron hit him with on the break where he, or not LeBron, but he could have set up LeBron and it would have been setting up a transition break. I think Kyrie might have thrown the pass and he bobbles it, drops it. To turnover, Golden State gets the ball back. Those little things added up. Some things break right for the Cavs in two of these games. I would say game three, where they lose because Korver missed that open three, as we got noted in the comment there by Giancarlo, and maybe tonight goes a little bit different if they don't have any turnovers. Those guys are sort of part of the Cavs' bigger offseason conundrum. The moment this game ended, in my mind, started the Cavs' offseason. It's not that they have to make decisions on players right now. It's not that they have to make decisions on trading someone or trying to buy a draft pick or what they're going to do about Korver and Darren Williams and Derek Williams and if RJ is going to retire or any of that. David Griffin is now free agent. And David Griffin is the architect of this Cavs team. He has been the architect of the Cavs' team these past couple years. There has been stalled out contract between the Cavs and David Griffin. They have not come to any agreement. It seems less and less likely that he is going to be someone who is going to stick around. Just because of, like, they haven't come to a deal. There are less and less openings. You know, he's not on the Bucks' final list. There's not really many other options for him there. He could sit out a year. But that's what starts the Cavs' offseason. They don't really have their decision maker in place anymore, technically. Griffin could resign. That could happen, you know, this week. The draft's next week. But so this is going to come very fast. Right now, you don't have the guy who has been the architect of the Cavs' success. Like, yes, LeBron is so important in him coming back in the first place. And yes, none of this happens, and the Cavs aren't in the finals if LeBron does not come back. But it becomes more and more of an issue there when you don't have David Griffin there, the guy who's made all these little technical moves, the guy who has really been the one pulling all the strings for the Cavs the past couple years. They need, and Giancarlo just commented this, they need to re-sign Griffin immediately. What kind of contract he's going to command is going to be really interesting. You know, will he get Bob Myers or RC Buford money where he gets about $9 million? He certainly, I think, deserves it. Will he not sign because they only offer him $7 million? But the moment that game ended, the moment the Warriors started celebrating that title, in my mind, the Cavaliers' offseason began. It starts with David Griffin. It starts with the draft next week. They don't have any picks, but they could buy a pick in terms of what they do with Kay Felder. Or what they did with Kay Felder last year. And then the free agency starts. They're not going to be a team that has a lot of money to go out and sign, you know, another high-level free agent. If you're a fan out there that wants them to sign a Gordon Hayward or someone like that, like, they don't have the money to do that. If they're going to make a move, if they're going to do something significant and try to alter the roster and compete in that arms race with Golden State, it's going to involve making a deal. And that could mean Kevin Love. That could mean Kyrie Irving. That could mean Amon Shumpert and a bunch of future picks, and you get a slightly better role player in that spot. That's kind of what you're looking at if you're the Cavs right now. But it starts with Griffin, and then you can make all these other decisions when you get there. Those will come. Right now you have LeBron to, you know, just average a triple-double in the finals. He's still the best player in the world. Kyrie had an amazing last couple games. I thought he really came alive. Kevin Love didn't, you know, necessarily cap off his finals in the way you would expect. It wasn't a very Kevin Love postseason to wrap it up, but it was a Kevin Love. It was a Kevin Love series where I thought he played the best basketball of his Cavs career. And he ends on that note. It's not a good look. The two early fouls got him out of his rhythm, I thought, and never really kind of recovered. If you're just joining us, this is Facebook Live. I am Chris Manning from FurTheSword.com here on Phantom, the only live sports network on Facebook, recapping Game 5, doing a little off-season preview for the Cleveland Cavaliers. This will be our last game recap of the regular season. It's come and gone, and kind of crazy how fast it comes and how different be. I'm already just asked there, what would the market be for Kevin Love? That's a really good question. I don't think in this NBA, in this pace and space league, in this environment, that Kevin Love is a guy someone a team is gonna build that around as their centerpiece. Like, Kevin Love is not going to be the guy you're basing all of your team around. Like, he is not gonna be the guy that is your franchise player. He's someone who could be your second or third best guy. I think he's certainly in the prime of his career. The question ends up becoming, like, does he get you what you want? Like, you know, I'm sure if the Cavs called the Knicks tomorrow, they could get Carmelo Anthony, right? That's a bad deal for the Cavs. I think Love at his best is much better than Carmelo at his best, especially at this point in their respective careers. You know, Carmelo's older. Love is in his prime. Love is a better rebounder. Carmelo's less willing to bang inside, and Love's been very willing to play physical basketball inside near the hoop. You need that. So that's a problem in itself. In my mind, you're not getting Paul George. Like, I don't think Kevin Love gets you Paul George. Right? Like, I don't think you're getting someone of that caliber. I don't think you're getting Jimmy Butler, or maybe the Bulls will be crazy and do something, but, like, I don't think you're getting that type of guy. So that makes the question, like, are you better off just keeping him and betting on the fact that if you can turn him on Shumpert, maybe into something, if you can turn Seti Osman next year, who's going to be this really intriguing guy from Turkey who's going to come over, presumably, or maybe he's part of your package. Like, maybe you do something there to get a role player, a really good role player, and you get the right deal. But that's a lot harder, I think. Like, you're going to just get teams more interested in dealing with you if you trade a Kevin Love, if you trade a Kyrie Irving. But it'd be really, really hard in my mind to break up the core of this team. Knowing what you know, I think they're more likely to really try to find that guy that can get them on par with Golden State in terms of star power. But I think it's probably going to have to be more like, could be like a high-level role guy than it would be another star. Giancarlo has another comment. He says, we are a quarter three and a third Durant foul on that LeBron dunk, I think is what he is referring to, because it cut off there, from it being a 3-2 series lead. And for the Cavs, like, I think that is something you are going to talk yourself into a little bit. If you're the Cavs, if you're looking at this season, if you're looking at how the series ended up, the Cavs were better than they were last year. The Cavs are, I think, a better overall team than last year. I think they hit their peak was higher, and even though they won the title last year, I think their overall peak this year was better. I think, like, this team beats last year's team. The problem is Golden State exists. But some of the little things break your way, and you can talk. I think there's a world where you could talk yourself into them being on that same playing field. I don't think that's necessarily the smartest thing. Like, I think that's playing a little bit of foosgold, kind of walking on some shaky ground there. If that's kind of what you're doing, because Golden State wins because they are better. Like, I don't think those first two games were the best performance. I don't think they were everything, but I don't think they were indicative of the gap. Like, I think some of these games where Golden State can overwhelm me with KD and with Curry and with all these guys, like, that is more emblematic of the differences between these teams than the first two games where the Cavs were awful. A lot of things have to work right for the Cavs to win. Some things could have broken right, and this series goes six. And maybe Andre Iguodala's a year older, and maybe Curry hits his peak, and maybe these things just kind of break your way. But it took a lot last year to break for the Cavs to win. It takes even more probably this year for it to go longer than five. So I think they do have to do something. Even if it would have been 3-2, like, a lot sort of has to go that way for that to happen. And LeBron James is at the podium right now, too, if you're keeping tabs on that. And LeBron James said, "I don't believe I played for a super team. I don't believe in that." And that's a very interesting comment. The Cavs, in my mind, are probably a super team. I think, Golden State is, like, the uber super team. But I think the Cavs are, like, kind of right there. Like, I don't think there's a team in the East right now that are on their level. Like, Golden State, or if Boston gets Gordon Hayward or Jimmy Butler or two of those guys, like, they get there in a hurry because of the lengths on the wing. But some of the other teams, like, Washington's not on that level. They'll have a hard time getting there. You'll have, like, Atlanta is, like, way down there, and all these other teams are way, way below. You're still kind of competing against Golden State. Like, you're still relatively competing to take on Golden State and beat Golden State in the same exact scenario a year from now. It would not shock me one bit if that next year at this time, in June of 2018, we are seeing Cavs Warriors 4. That would not shock me one bit if that was the matchup we saw a year from now, with the same finals matchup, with the same everything. That would not shock me at all. If you're just joining us, this is On Fansome, the only live sports network here on Facebook. I'm Chris Manning, your host at FearTheSword.com, and the Locked On Cavs podcast, here to recap Game 5 and look a little bit ahead at the Cavaliers' offseason. Some of this game was you've seen Golden State and the Cavs kind of going back and forth at each other in ways that were really interesting. Like, the Cavs in the first quarter have another really, really good first quarter. They're up by 4 after 1. They shoot 62% from the field in that quarter. Kyrie and LeBron had these really good quarters. Golden State in that second quarter at one point went on a 22-2 run. 22-2. At one point they're up 61-45 there. LeBron has to hit a 3. Curry, three puts it back to 13. KD gets it up to 15. JR has to hit 2 threes to kind of get it closer at the half. But it took a lot for the Cavs to kind of claw back in there. That was a lot of energy to expend and a lot of JR hero ball to do that. Then you... Then you look at just kind of how this third quarter ends up going. They get down to 5. Like, J.R. Smith hits the 3 with 18.6 seconds to go, cuts that lead to 5, gets it down to 98-93. The Cavs didn't turn the ball over at all in the third quarter until the 123 mark. They had, I think, back-to-back turnovers at that point, but did a really nice job of doing what they do, which is take care of the ball, playing a little bit slower, hitting threes, LeBron's exploiting mismatches. A lot goes right in that quarter. And then from there, Iggy gets it to 8. Andre Iguodala gets it to 8. You know, Love scores on Clay. It's still 5 at that point. Then KD gets a 3. Warriors get up 8. Love misses a 3 with 9:45. That felt significant. It felt like one of those shots, you know, you needed to win. 7:42, LeBron's sat for a little bit. It's still at 10 points. Cavs never really fully get back in to everything that had worked in that area, right? Like, you had so much there. Like, they get within 5, get within every bit of a scenario you want them to be in, and then it breaks the other way. Like, that sort of just comes down to Kevin Durant being the hero of this game. Like, he I don't know if he's won it yet. I don't know if that's been announced yet, but I'm pretty sure he, in my mind, is the Finals MVP. Like, he was incredible. He's already one of the best players ever. You know, like, he was incredible in this whole series. The Cavs had no answer for him. And, like, to me, this was his series, and he did win the Finals MVP award. Like, to me, this was the Kevin Durant series. Like, LeBron James averaged a triple-double. Steph Curry is still a very, very good player. Kyrie had some great moments. I thought this was Kevin Love's best playoff performance, again, especially in the context of playing against a team he's not supposed to be able to see the floor against. Like, I thought he did a really nice job, and I think those are very significant for Kevin Love. But Kevin Durant's too much, you know? Like, it ends up being that Kevin Durant, this 7-foot guy who can shoot over you and can dominate you, it ends up being too much for the Cavs. And that's a very simple way of defining the series. And Golden State does so much in terms of screening and playing defense and organizing things and just playing in this controlled sort of chaotic environment that really is hard for anybody to deal with, right? If you're the Cavs, like, you just kind of have to end of the day kind of think, okay, like, yeah, like, we figured out ways to work through some of this. Like, we found workable solutions. The one thing they just don't have an answer for is Kevin Durant, and it's hard to find an answer for someone like Kevin Durant. That's not, like, a very fun, answer from all of this, right? Like, that's not if you're a Cavs fan, like, that's not a particularly, or just interested in a competitive NBA, like, that is not, like, a fun answer, like, that Kevin Durant doesn't have this answer. But unless you're getting, there's, like, 4 or 5 guys you reasonably can get that are actually in the league right now that could be the type of guy that you would need, and it's a Jimmy Butler. It is a Paul George. It is a Kawhi Leonard. Like, it are these elite players that you need to kind of probably match up and kind of hit those same benchmarks. Or you need, like, the elitist role player possible. Like, do you want Tony Allen? You know, like, is that something you'd want where you just have a guy who's going to defend and you have to just deal with his offense? There are all these things with this Cavs team that you just, I don't know exactly 100% what you do to kind of match Golden State's arms and figure that out. Like, those are really, really tough decisions. Those are tough decisions for whoever is going to be the GM, whether that's David Griffin or somebody else. But I think you will not see the same Cavs team come October. Like, you look at the roster right now, like, there's to me a lot of guys that are sort of up in the air in terms of if they're going to be back next year. You know, I think LeBron is obviously going to be around. Kyrie, to me, if the next most secure guy, it's Kyrie. I'd be shocked if they traded him or moved on from him in any way. Kevin Love is close to me for that. And Tristan Thompson is close there as well. It's hard, I think, to deal with guys, especially because I don't know if you're getting 100% what you need. And I don't know what the market would really be for Love. It could be something really good. And maybe it's exactly what they need, but I sort of doubt it. JR is kind of next because I have a hard time seeing a team wanting to pay him. And I think he's very well liked. So if James Jones wants a roster spot, he'll be back as well. He won't play, I think, for another team unless he went back to the Heat. But he kind of left there in weird terms, just like LeBron did. And then you get into some of the very interesting questions, like, you know, do they try to trade Channing Frye for something, a salary filler? Is Amon Shumpert and his $10 million contract something they could use and to get a player that they think is more useful and is a more complete player than him, right? Like, do they try to move on from him in that sense? Does RJ retire? Does Richard Jefferson end his career after, you know, ending it last year? Is that what he decided to do, that this is the end for him? Do they re-sign Darren Williams? Do they re-sign Kyle Korver? What do they do with Kay Felder? He didn't play much this year, but and his contract's not fully guaranteed for next year, so do they think he's worth having around? Is Derek Williams on the roster next year? Or was that just a one-year kind of filler thing, and he's there for no purpose, right? Like, these are the questions you have, and the top of the roster feels very secure. It wouldn't shock me if they try to remake that bench in some way. It would make a lot of sense. But that's kind of where we're headed. That sets up everything we're doing. And you're competing against Golden State. Like, ultimately, you are going to be competing against a Golden State team that you had a very, very hard time competing with. They're one of the best teams ever. They have four of the top 20, 25 players in the league. And you have to find a way to compete with that this summer. Like, that to me is... It's simple. It's not groundbreaking. It is not anything super original. But if you're the Cavs, like, that is the reality you're facing with. You are competing against Golden State and yourself. Are you able to push yourself to be at that same level again? Can LeBron stay at this level as he hits 33 years old and more minutes on his body? Can Kyrie Irving hit that next level and become, you know, a star that can do it all the time? And so he is so good that the Cavs can maybe give LeBron extra night off so he has more energy for a series like this, and they're not cratering when they go off. You know, is Kevin Love on the team next year, and can he help Kyrie in that too, and can he help the team and thrive without LeBron in times as well? And who's around, and how are you retooling these things? It's not quite as going to be as impactful as, you know, when LeBron comes back, or potentially drastic as some of the other off seasons. I don't think it'll be as quite as tense, but you're headed into an off season where I think you will see some significant possible changes, and it starts right now. David Griffin, as I noted, is a free agent, and I think this game sucks. The Cavs are entering out to a Golden State team that has Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant is that ultimate trump card in that particular matchup. They don't have a great answer for him, and it feels outgunned when you look at LeBron and his Cavs team versus that Warriors team. It just feels like they're a bit outgunned. That Golden State is so stacked that the Cavs are just kind of... they're like, the defense stuff is a problem. Like, I think some of the little breakdowns they have were really problematic. I think they got a little bit unhinged in the second quarter, which is a big thing for them, and they were trying to run too much. But at the end, like, it just, to me, it comes down to you're outgunned against Golden State, and how do you match that? How can you negate that in some way? And how were you able to do it? LeBron saying he doesn't think he's played on a super team is like a very interesting framework of this offseason. Does he want them to get that fourth guy, and can they get that fourth guy? But again, the Cavs lose. The NBA season is over. It has been a blast. 129-120 is the score of Game 5. Golden State wins 4-1 with the Cavs. Is one win coming in Game 4 at home, where Kyrie and LeBron were utterly terrific, and the Cavs were able to ride some record scoring numbers to pull that out. Kevin Durant's Finals MVP. LeBron finishes averaging a triple double, 41 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists for him in the final game. And KD, in the last game of the series, 39 points, 14-20 from the field. Seemingly got a big bucket every time Golden State needed it, and ultimately just responded to everything the Cavs did. Not a whole lot else you can say. The Cavs are going to have a very interesting summer. As Zane Mitchell said, we'll see if they get Paul George. Paul George is the guy I think a lot of Cavs fans are going to be very excited about. I don't know if they can do it. I don't know if they necessarily have the assets to do it. We will see. I don't know why Indiana would trade with the Cavs. It's easier said than done. But that's something we're going to probably hear about for sure. Going to be interesting. Hopefully the Browns, if you're a Cavs, Cleveland fan out there, aren't going to be too bummed about it, about them. And, you know, guys, you'll look back at this, and I think this will be one of the most fun Cavs seasons ever, even if, have an issue. That, at the end of the day, like, this Cavs team, ends up being incredible. They come close, not enough. And I think one on this, LeBron James, for me personally, I left everything on the floor, all five games. I think so too. And we'll see where this goes. It's going to be a very interesting summer in Cleveland, a very interesting NBA summer in general, as it always is. The NBA never takes a break. It's been a pleasure to do these recaps. Don't know exactly what's next for me with Phantom Inn over the summer until we get back to the season, but it's been a pleasure. You can find my Facebook page. Search Chris Manning and find. You can find me on Twitter at CWM Rights. Like for the sword. Go look up the Locked On Cavs podcast. I'll have analysis of this game up there as well. And hope you guys enjoyed. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Phantom, the only live sports network on Facebook. Talk to you again soon.